This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Okay, inshallah, we're carrying on with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu dispatching the army to fight the Murtadeen. So first one was that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu dispatched Khalid bin Sa'id, if you look at your maps. And the second one that he dispatched Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu. And now the third one was that he dispatched Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu now goes firstly to deal with a false prophet, his name is Tulayha. Then he goes to Batah, where there was a man called Malik ibn Nuwayra. And then finally Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu goes to deal with a person who was out of the false prophets, the strongest and the mightiest amongst them, Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Now, let me give you a bit of background to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Why? Because Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was very instrumental in the Caliphate of Abu Bakr and also Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. A lot of what both of them achieved was because of the endeavors and the brilliance of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So Khalid bin Walid was from the Quraysh. From the Quraysh, he belonged to the clan of the Bani Makhzuma. Now, Khalid was born 25 years before the Hijrah. Now, what was the Bani Makhzuma? So the Quraysh, every clan had a special duty. What was the duty of the Bani Makhzuma? The duty of the Bani Makhzuma was very important. They were generally in charge of warfare. So the military preparing for a battle, this is what the Bani Makhzuma were in charge of. They would rear the animals and they would prepare everything else, the horses, the camels, etc., for warfare. Now, why was this very important? It was very important because the Arabs would be fighting with each other for a very, very long period of time. And if their military was weak, they were vulnerable for other people to attack them. So he came from this clan, the Bani Makhzuma. Like generally the habit, the Arabs had this habit of, they would send their children whilst they were babies to live with the Bedouins or to live in the outskirts. Why? Because they believed the fresh air did them good. They believed the language was pure because Makkah was a very cosmopolitan place. And also they believed that the early life actually made them strong living with the Bedouins. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu now goes and he comes back approximately at the age of 5. Now when he comes back, Khalid bin Walid from a very young age has this desire. What's that desire? That desire is to fight. That desire is to ride a horse. That desire is to be, you know, on horseback all the time. Study was not necessarily Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu's favorite pastime. It was to ride horses. Actually, the historian mentioned that when the people could not tame a particular horse, they would give it to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu would break the horse. So this was Khalid from a very, very young age. The historians mention that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu could hold the sword in both hands, control the horse with his feet, and fight equally well with both hands whilst riding the horse. There was only two people who could do this. One was Khalid bin Walid and one was Zubair ibn Awam radiallahu anhu from the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And you know why they say Zubair ibn Awam? Because the Messenger of Allah made a special dua for him while he was a child and for his sword. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted that dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him amazing ability. So what did Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu look like? We've discussed how Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu looked like. So what did Khalid look like? Well, Khalid subhanAllah was a very large individual, over 6 feet tall, broad shoulders, muscular, lean, no fat on him. Whilst he was a child, he had smallpox. So the smallpox actually left these marks upon his face. The narrations mention that nobody ever saw the face of Khalid bin Walid in battle, but they were already defeated. Nobody ever saw his face, but they were already defeated. War beaten, you know, hardened face. He had this ru'ub aura. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, that the Prophet ﷺ said, I have been given ru'ub over people at the distance of a month's travel. The ulama actually deduced from that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives his awliya, the pious individuals, this ru'ub. And nobody better than Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, the general of this ummah. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was tall individual. Now, which family, who was Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu's father? Anybody tell me? Very good. Walid ibn al-Mughira. Walid ibn al-Mughira was really the leader of the Quraysh. He was the richest amongst them. He was the wisest amongst them. Actually, when the first revelation descended to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam claimed prophethood, he was very upset. Why was he upset? Because he said, how is it that Muhammad has got prophethood and me and the leaders of Quraysh have not got prophethood? He said, if prophethood should come, it should come to the likes of myself and likes of Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Who was Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi? He was the leader of the people of Ta'if. He said, me or Abu Mas'ud deserve this. This man, Muhammad, he's, you know, he has no wealth, he has no leadership. How did he get this Nabuwa? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرَانَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَرْيَتَيْنِ أَذِينَ. Okay, Allah says, لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ قَرْيَتَيْنِ أَذِينَ. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not reveal this Quran upon a man from the two cities? Which cities are they speaking about? They're speaking about Mecca and they're speaking about Ta'if. Who are they speaking about? Walid ibn al-Mughira here and Abu Mas'ud over there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now replies, said, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ عَيْشَةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah says, do they distribute the rahmat of Allah? Do they distribute the rahmat of your Lord? We distribute even their sustenance, their livelihood we give to them in this dunya, and we raise whoever we wish above others in status. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who are you to say that who we should give our nabuwah to? Now it's very interesting. What did they look at? What did they look at? They looked at wealth. They looked at status. And they think that wealth and status, because you have wealth and status, therefore you deserve everything in life. And this is generally, unfortunately, how Muslims look at things today. The chairman of an organization is often the richest person, even though he may not have a deep concern. He has status. In the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we choose those people who are the best of people. Irrespective of their bank balances, irrespective of the status that they have within the community, we choose those who are the best individuals. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, أَهُمْ يَقْسِمُونَ رَحْمَةَ رَبِّكَ. Are they the ones who distribute the rahmah of your Lord? نَحْنُ قَسَّمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ عَيْشْتُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We are the ones who distributed even their livelihood. The wealth that they have is from Allah. And we give some people status over others, and that is totally up to us. So this is a very fine principle. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a yatim. His mother and father passed away. The Messenger of Allah had no wealth. He really had no status. But everybody in Makkah regarded him as Sadiqul Amin. So Allah looked at Sadiqul Amin, and what they looked at was the bank balance. And for believers, when we choose a person of prominence within our community, it should never be on the basis of his bank balance. It should be on the basis of the khair that that individual has. So Walid ibn Mughira was so rich, was so rich that as long as the Hajis would come to Mina, only Walid ibn Mughira would feed them. Nobody else had the right to feed the Hajis besides Walid ibn Mughira. Subhanallah, that's how rich he was. So they decided, look, Walid, you go and convince this man Muhammad because he's causing chaos. So then Walid ibn Mughira goes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he speaks to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he starts giving him dawah, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites the Quran. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites the verse, Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan, right to the end of the verse. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam finished this verse, Walid is like taken aback by the eloquence of the Quran. And Walid ibn Mughira says to Muhammad, recite it again. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam recites it again. So then Walid ibn Mughira says his famous statement. He said, Wallahi, inna lahu lahalawa. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْهَا طَلَاوَةً وَإِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرُ وَإِنَّ أَسْفَلَهُ لَمُدْغِقٌ وَإِنَّهُ يَعْلُو وَلَا يُعْلَى عَلَيْهِ وَمَا بِقَوْلِ بَشَرٍ. Walid ibn Mughira says, Wallahi, this word, this Quran has a sweetness. It has an eloquence. Its top is exaltation, is fruitful, and its root is bountiful. It will dominate and it will not be dominated upon. And it is not the word of a human being. So now he goes back to his people and he says this to them. And Abu Jahl and everybody shocked, because if Walid ibn Mughira becomes a Muslim, then the leader of Quraysh has become a Muslim. So Abu Jahl now goes. Abu Jahl was very sharp. Abu Jahl's name was Abu al-Hakam. Abu al-Hakam means the father of wisdom. So when he didn't embrace Islam, the Prophet ﷺ called him Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. He's a very, very intelligent person. So he goes and he knocks on the door. He also belonged to the Bani Makhzum, Abu Jahl. So he goes to Walid ibn Mughira and he says, I'm concerned. I have a deep concern. So what's this? He said, oh uncle, people are saying that you are inclining to the religion of Muhammad because you want his money. You want a share in the Nabuwa. Remember, Walid was the richest man of the thing. So for him, this was like, how dare anybody say this about me? So Abu Jahl said, to rectify the situation, you will have to take back your statement and also say, you know, disparage Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there, this is where Walid ibn Mughira was the man who concocted the statement for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's a magician. He gathered the people and he said, listen, people are going to come for Hajj and they are going to ask you about this man Muhammad. They've heard about Muhammad. They're going to ask you about this man Muhammad. You need to be unified in your response. All of you have to say the same thing. So they said to him, okay, you're the wisest, you're the most intelligent, you tell us. So he said, okay, what I say to you is that you tell me first, I want to hear your opinions, and then I'll tell you my opinion. So one of them said, he's Majnoon. He said, we have seen Majnoons, we have seen mad people, we know a mad person. Muhammad, what he articulates, is not madness. He said, okay, we'll say that he's a poet. He said, nobody amongst you knows poetry better than I do and poets better than I do. By Allah, what he says is not poetry. Then they said, okay, we'll say he's a magician. He said, I know magic better than all of you. Guaranteed he is not magic, a magician. So they said, okay, we've given our opinions. Now you tell us what you think. So Walid ibn Mughira said, we know the aforementioned are not true, but what we will say that he's a magician, that he divides a husband from the wife, a father from the son, a mother from the daughter. So he was the one who concocted the term magician for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when he rejected the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, man, this man was the richest. He was known as the Rayhan of Quraysh. Rayhan of Quraysh means the flower of Quraysh. There was nobody like him. But when he rejected the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah revealed verses regarding the father of Khalid bin Walid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me to deal with the one I created myself. I created him all by myself. The other interpretation to this verse is this. وَذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me to deal with the one that I created unique. Walid ibn Mughira, I created him unique. Beautiful, handsome, articulate, nobody as articulate as him. Wealthy, nobody as wealthy. Stated, I gave this guy everything. ذَرْنِي وَمَنْ خَلَقْتُ وَحِيدًا. Leave me to deal with the one that I created. And then Allah speaks about everything Allah gave to him and what kind of individual he was. And then Allah says, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. Allah says, وَاسْتَكْبَرَ. He became haughty. After all I gave to him, when my signs came to him, he became an enemy of my signs. But not only did he become an enemy of my signs, he said regarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَقَالَ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. This magic. Magic, that's all it is. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we will make him climb Sa'ud. Sa'ud is a mountain. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that Allah will make the people of Jahannam, they will climb it with their faces. La ilaha illallah. They will climb it upon their faces. And subhanallah. So this was the father of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. His enmity for the Prophet ﷺ became so great, that now he eventually even offered his son to Abu Talib. He had a son called Amara, not Khalid, another son called Amara. So he said to, he went to Abu Talib and he said, look at Abu Talib, you know, your nephew, give us your nephew and I will give you my son Umara, who nobody out of the youngsters of Quraysh equal with. You raise my child as your child and give us your nephew and we'll deal with him what we want to. So Abu Talib, subhanAllah, wasn't a believer, but he loved his nephew. So Abu Talib said, what? You want me to give you my nephew, my son, so you can kill him, and you want me to raise your child, feed him, and raise your child? He said, what a deal is that? What kind of deal is that? So, this was the father of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So you understand what kind of father Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had. Now, Khalid, we know that he was a military genius. But the question arises, at the Battle of Badr, when the mushrikeen lost 70 of their men, many of their leaders they lost in Badr, 70 were captured. There is no mention of Khalid. Where was Khalid? Khalid wasn't in the battle. He was on a journey. So Khalid was not around to participate in the Battle of Badr. Now what happened in the Battle of Badr was obviously many of the leaders of Quraysh were killed. 70 were captured. So Abu Sufyan said, Abu Sufyan went to the degree of saying, they said, I don't even want anybody to cry. He said, bottle up that anger. Keep that anger. Don't cry. We will take our anger out on them next year. So every penny that they raised from their caravans in the next year, which was 50,000 dinars, every single penny was spent on the next battle, which was the Battle of Uhud. Now, Khalid bin Walid, as I mentioned, was, you know, the warrior amongst the Quraysh, one of the mightiest warriors amongst the Quraysh. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was in charge of the cavalry. Khalid bin Walid was on the right wing and Ikrimah was on the left wing. Now, Ikrimah and Khalid bin Walid had a very tight relationship. Not only was he his nephew, he was from the Bani Makhzuma, but they were very, very close as individuals. The other close friend that Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu had was Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As, who we dealt with in the last lesson, he was a very good friend of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Now, the battle commences. The Battle of Uhud commences. Subhanallah, the Muslims are less than a third of the number of the Mushrikeen. The Mushrikeen are 3,000, the Muslims are 700. But the Muslims begin to get the upper hand. So three times, Khalid bin Walid now tries to come around to attack the Muslims from behind. Because he's in charge of the cavalry. So he's on the right side, Ikrimah is on the left side of the cavalry. Three times he comes to attack the Muslims. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khalid bin Walid might have been a military genius, but he compared nowhere with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had put a group of 50 men under Abdullah bin Jubayr radiallahu anhu on a small hillock. And he said to them, under no circumstance do you leave your position. So those 50 people are now there, and what happened, the battle starts, the Muslims are less than a third of the number, but the Muslims start getting the upper hand. And slowly but surely, the Mushrikeen begin to move back, and Khalid bin Walid now has tried three times to go around the hillock to attack the Muslim from the back, but each time those arches which the Prophet ﷺ had placed, each time they repel him. Until the Mushrikeen begin to run for their lives. Now a dispute breaks out amongst the 50 archers on the hillock. Some say that the message of Allah's command was only until, you know, the fighting, now the Mushrikeen are running away, now we can come down. Others said, no, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear that under no circumstance do you come off the hillock. When some of them saw the others collecting the booty, they came off the hillock. Now Khalid bin Walid is watching. Next to him is Dirar bin al-Khattab. So you have the brother of Umar ibn al-Khattab on the other side, Dirar, next to Khalid bin Walid. And he notices that the Muslims have come off the hillock. So he says to Khalid, they've come off the hillock. There's only 10 of them left. So now Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, he comes around. So he comes around the hillock. There's only 10 people left. He kills all three. They're all 10 are now martyred who remain upon the hillock. As Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu once defined Khalid bin Walid, he said he's a friend of death. He has the dash of a lion and the patience of a cat. Look, he's watching. He's seeing his army being battered, killed. He doesn't move. He just watches. But when he gets his opportunity, it's like the dash of a lion. So he comes around, and the Muslims have now put down their weapons. They're collecting the booty. The Mushrikeen are running, and all of a sudden, there's a charge from behind them, and they hear his shout. He shouts, Ana Abu Sulaiman. Ana Abu Sulaiman. That was his kunniyah. Khalid bin Walid's kunniyah, Ana Abu Sulaiman. And then he begins to strike the Muslims and his cavalry. Now, there's such confusion amongst the Muslims. Many of them have put their weapons down. So the Mushrikeen now who have run away, they hear that the chant of Khalid bin Walid, and they come back. Now what happens is the Muslims are sandwiched. Then to make things even worse, they hear that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been martyred. So subhanAllah, can you imagine this? They hear the Messenger of Allah martyred. So some people leave the battlefield because they think, you know, what's worth living? The Messenger of Allah has gone. The confusion, the disarray which has taken place. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going back. And Ikrimah sees the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because it's a false rumor. So he comes back and he blocks the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 30 Sahaba were approximately around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only way that the mushrikeen were going to reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were over the dead bodies of these 30 Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So eventually in this battle, what happens is that 70 Muslims are martyred. Out of those 70, subhanAllah, the amazing thing is that only 3 were muhajirun, the rest were all Ansar. The Ansar were at the forefront of the fighting. Now this, after battle, in essence, you could say is a defeat for the Muslims. In essence, it's not a defeat for the Muslims. Why? Because the mushrikeen didn't really achieve what they wanted to achieve, which was to eradicate the Muslims totally. But it was a setback for the Muslims. But why did the Muslims lose? Why did the Muslims lose? It's because of what they earned by their own hands. The Messenger of Allah made it clear, don't come off the hillock. They came off the hillock. So look at this, subhanAllah. Going against one command of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led to defeat. So when we look at the Muslim world today and we see the issues which are happening in the Muslim world, and we think, you know, why are we being disgraced? Why the defeat? Well, then we look in our lives on a personal level, on a micro level, on a macro level, how we forego the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This victory was turned into, you could say, a setback. But why? To teach you and I a lesson that if you want victory in this dunya and the hereafter, you must obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only man, listen to this, the only man to defeat an army in which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Khalid bin Walid. The Messenger of Allah never had a setback like this in an army which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the truth is that it was impossible for even Khalid, although there were 3 times the number of the Muslims, to beat or defeat the Muslims in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in, if they had obeyed the commands of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is Khalid bin Walid. 70 Sahaba radwanullah ajma'in were martyred. The Muslims weren't a huge number, and 70 of them were martyred. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to elevate the status of those who were martyred, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. It shows here, when you have a great leader, and the news comes that the leader has passed away, what impact the absence of a great leader can have. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the absence of this great leader, what kind of impact that it can have on a group of people. And the same thing today, when we lose our leaders, when our leaders are alive, we don't appreciate it. When they go, we appreciate it. We wish we had this person. It also shows what great leadership can also do on the other side, even if they're non-Muslims. Khalid bin Walid was on the other side, but he imbued this confidence, he imbued this courage, this vigor into the non-Muslims. So even if you have a non-Muslim leader, but the person has a concern, the person has a vigor, he can imbue amazing amount of courage within the people around them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are encouraged by others and who encourage others. Barakallahu feekum, Jazakumullah khairan, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullah khairan for watching, and please do not forget to watch the next episode. And inshallah, with your du'as, there will be plenty more history series coming very soon. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.